Thank you. If you have your Bible, I want you to look at the front of your Bible. There should be a book called Genesis. Go right past that book called Genesis to the book of Exodus. Exodus, go past the first chapter, you get to the second chapter, and you are where we are. The second chapter of the book of Exodus, and we're going to start at the beginning. And a man of the house of Levi went and took as a wife a daughter of Levi. So the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes for him, dabbed it with asphalt and pitch, and the child was placed in it and laid in the reeds by the river's banks. And his sister stood afar off to know what would be done to him. Then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, and her maidens walked along the riverside, and when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it. And when she opened it, she saw a child. And behold, the baby wept. So she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrew children." Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for you?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." So the maiden went and called the child's mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away, nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed him, and the child grew. And she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and she became her son. And he became her son. So she called his name Moses, saying, "Because I drew him out of the water." And God blesses the reading of his word. Join with me again as we pray. Father, take your word, touch our hearts. Fathers, I thank you so much for each one listening to this message. I pray, Father, that you will teach, challenge, and change us, bring us closer to you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this is Mother's Day, and for many, I hope a joyful day. And yet I understand this day is painful for others. If you were blessed to have a loving mother, you should look at this day with great joy, and you should be thankful for her, and you have been blessed by her. In fact, all the blessings that come into your life have a root through her, because without her, you would not be here. If you had a horrible mother, you know, the reality is true that you still would not be here without her. I am sorry that you had such an experience, but God has a way of wrapping his arms around you and caring for you and filling the need in your life. If you've been blessed to be a mother, God has trusted you with a life. That is a great trust. He has put in your hands a child that can make changes in the world. If you have no children, God can bring others into your life to bless your life and to fill the gaps. We all should know that a mother's care is priceless. Okay, moms, listen up. Have you ever thought of how much money you should be paid? I mean, think about it. You do all the caring, the loving, the diapering. I know the husband does something when you make him, but otherwise, you do it all, and you know, you make sure that there's food there. Then you're going back and forth. You're taking them places and picking them up from places. You didn't know that your life would be a taxi service, but that's what you become. The task of a mother and her family are great. And so some minds have gotten together to calculate exactly what would a mother be paid for all of her household and family duties. And it has been estimated at a very low rate of pay at $17 an hour that a mom would get at least $159,000 a year. Inflation may move that upward. So moms, I guess the check's in the mail. There are many unknown women who have changed the world through their children. There's a lady like Nancy, and maybe you're like Nancy. Nancy was tall, lanky, a young woman who weighed about 136 pounds. Her face was very long. Her appearance was quaint. But in reality, while people thought that she was just shy and reserved, she was very active. She was a hard worker. She played with her children and she taught her children. She had three children. Her youngest child died in childbirth. What a tragedy for her. And so she poured what life she had into her older two children. She taught them God's word as best she could. She couldn't read, but she taught them that they needed to read. She would have them read to her. Now I'm sure sometimes it was out of the Bible. She had little in this life. And she died at the age of 36. Nancy's middle child, a boy, was only 9 years of age. And yet he said he remembered her well. He remembered what she tried to teach him well. Maybe you've heard of him. His name was Abraham Lincoln. He said, "All that I am, I owe to my angel mother." Now, he wasn't saying his mother was an angel. He was talking to about his mother who died when he was 9. He had a stepmother that influenced him as well. But he gave all credit to her because he remembered what she told him. She remembered what she taught him of God and God's word. The Bible tells us of some amazing mothers. There's Hannah. Hannah prayed for a child. She wanted a child. She had none. And many women suffer in that kind of need. And she asked God for a son, and she said, "If you just give me a son, I'll give him back to you." And God did. God gave her a son. The son's name was Samuel. He was chosen by God to be God's great high priest. And in Samuel's faithfulness to God, Hannah received her payday. In the New Testament, there were two ladies, Lois and Eunice. You may not recognize them right off, but they were very important to the life of a young man by the name of Timothy. Timothy walked with Paul, learned from Paul, and became a proclaimer of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lois was Eunice's mother and Timothy's grandmother. They taught Timothy the scriptures. They taught him to believe in Jesus. And because of their work, Timothy, though young, went into the ministry and touched so many lives. And you may understand now why we have some classes in our churches that are called TEL classes. Our most senior women's class carries the name of Timothy, Eunice, and Lois. And in that, they have their payday. Today, we're going to talk about another mother that you may have thought a lot about this week, I guess. She was a mother that had a baby born in difficulty, a baby born into a hard world, a baby born at a time when the leadership of the land wanted to kill all male babies that were born. What a difficult thing it was. And I know you know her and you've thought about her. You probably thought, "I really hope Brother Jerry talks about this lady today." Well, you're in luck. Today we talk about, I know you know her name, Jochebed. Jochebed was the mother of Moses. Now, if you wanted to hear about Jochebed, I'm glad. If you didn't want to hear about Jochebed, stay seated. the verses we have today don't tell us her name. But we are given her name in Exodus 6:20. Moses was led by the Holy Spirit to write about his birth and to write about his mother and to tell us about what took place. Jochebed means the Lord is my glory. What a great name. Now she married a man who was a faithful man, a man who followed God. His name was Amram. I'm trying to help you mothers out that are thinking of names for your new children. Amram means friend of the Most High. What a glorious thing it would be for any child to have parents whose father was a friend of God and whose mother was God's glory. Through the Holy Spirit, Moses relates to us what happened with his mom. And we see here a mom's dilemma. Pharaoh commanded the Hebrew midwives in delivering a child in 1:16, if he be a son, you shall kill him, but if a daughter, then she shall live. In Exodus 1:22, Pharaoh charged all of his people saying, every son that is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. The children of Israel came into Egypt when Joseph was the prime minister of Egypt. He was a believer in the one true God. He had led Pharaoh to understand and admire the one true God. But Joseph died, and the new Pharaoh did not know Joseph, and the new Pharaoh did not know Joseph's God. And in Joseph's day, the Hebrews were lifted up. Oh, but that all changed when the Pharaoh came that did not know Joseph. When this leader did not acknowledge God, he didn't acknowledge God's word, he didn't acknowledge God's people, everything changed. This is the dilemma of our day. We're in a day when leaders do not acknowledge God, do not acknowledge God's word, and do not acknowledge that God has a purpose. We are living in a nation and a generation largely that does not know our Jesus. You know, Mother's Day used to be as big as Easter. Now, I am so thankful you are here. I'm thankful for all the mothers here. I'm thankful that for all you that came to be with your mothers or came in respect of your mothers. But the truth is, we used to pack out churches across the land on Mother's Day because everybody would go to church to be with their mother. And their mothers were faithful to God's house. In recent days, that's not happened. In recent days, we live in a land where at least two generations of mothers have stopped going to church. And because the mothers don't go to church, the children don't go to church. On Mother's Day, where are they going to go? Well, if they go to the mom's house, that's one thing. But the reality is they don't worship God. We are in a land that has high crime, and we have murders, and we have difficulties of immorality. And why is that? Could it be because we have mothers that have not taught their child the simple things of God? Moms and dads that have not brought their children and taught their children that church was important to them, that Sunday school was important to them? If you have had a mother who loves and follow Jesus or did love and follow Jesus, you are greatly blessed and you should thank God. And if she is still with you, you should thank her. But be aware, most people that you will see did not have that and do not have that. The land of Egypt had all kinds of pagan gods. They were okay with you bowing down to anyone or anything as long as it wasn't the one true God. They devalued God, so they devalued life. That's what's happening in America today. Our land has devalued God, and so they have devalued life. That's why there's so many arguments about abortion today. So many people trying to fight for the right to kill unborn children. because they have devalued life. When Pharaoh, who knew not Joseph or Joseph's God, saw the Hebrew women having a lot of children, he said, uh-oh, they're going to rise up, they're going to build an army, and they are going to revolt, and they will overcome us. And so the answer to that was to kill all the male children. First, he called for the midwives. So they had midwives then that day. Hey, midwives are making a comeback. They had midwives in that day, and the midwives would be there for the birth. And they were told, if it's a girl, well, have a good time, celebrate the birth. If it's a boy, kill the boy immediately. Well, many of these midwives were believers. And these believing midwives did not want to kill these children. And the Pharaoh got word of this, so he changed the order. And he changed it so everyone was responsible for killing male babies. In fact, you're walking down the street, you see a woman with a male child, you are to take that child and you are to throw that child in the crocodile-infested Nile River. And it was being done on a daily basis. And Hebrew women that had male children lived in great fear. Think of the dilemma for Jochebed. She had two children. She had Miriam, she had Aaron. They were safe. Aaron was older and they weren't coming after him. Miriam was a girl, so they weren't coming after her. But now she's expecting her third child. What would it be? We've kind of gotten spoiled. We're in a day where people know what the child will be before the child gets here most of the time. We have gender reveal parties where people explode some kind of colored dust, pop a balloon, have a cake that has stuff in it that comes out. To show you a color, and from that color, you know whether the baby's going to be a boy or a girl. They didn't have that. They had to, like many of our people that are a little older, they had to wait till the baby showed up to find out what the baby was. And so, Jochebed probably had a midwife. And when the baby was coming, she knew if it was a girl, everything was going to be okay. You know, perhaps she prayed for a girl. But I think like most moms, she prayed for a healthy baby. And then the baby was born. She looked at the midwife's face, and the midwife just shook her head. And she knew immediately her son was in danger. She had to think of, what do I do? How do I save this child that God has given me? Well, she was facing a dilemma. And maybe you're facing a dilemma. Maybe it's not the same thing, but maybe it's big to you. And in that dilemma, you don't know exactly what to do. You need to do what Jochebed did. You need to look for God's will. You need to trust God in the situation. Jochebed knew God had not deserted her. Jochebed knew that this baby was a gift to God. And so Jochebed was going to try to protect this child. If you look over in Hebrews 11, you will find Jochebed's name. She is in the Faith Hall of Fame because she dealt with her dilemma in faith. She believed God would take care of the child, believed God would take care of her and her family. If you are facing a dilemma today, be like this mom. Put your faith in God, trust in Him, seek to obey Him, and do what He says. There's a mom's determination. In Exodus 2, we find when she saw him, that he was a beautiful child, she hid him for 3 months, and when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and dabbed it with slime and pitch and put the child therein and laid it in the flags by the riverbank. Jochebed dealt with this dilemma in faith. That faith allowed her to have a determination. Have you noticed, now in the best sense of the word, have you noticed how stubborn moms are? Men, don't shake your head yes, but we know. There has to be a determination. There has to be a determination to go through labor and for the baby to get here. There has to be a determination. Jochebed had a determination. She not only believed that God had given her this child, she believed God had a plan for this child. You need to believe God has a plan for your children. God has a plan for you. She was determined to follow God, not the world that she lived in. She looked at the baby. She saw the baby was beautiful. Well, I have been to hospitals shortly after babies have been born. I've seen a lot of babies. They have round faces mostly. Some of them have weird-shaped heads. They have wrinkly skin. And if you look in the mom's eyes, you know they think that child is beautiful. And so you know what I have decided? All children are beautiful. I have looked at a lot of children. Some have come close, but all children are beautiful. That word beautiful means fair, proper, special. Every child is special. She believed God had a plan. God has a plan. You got to know God has a plan for you. He has a desire for you. And part of your plan as a parent is that God wants you to teach your child how to love and follow Jesus Christ. And you don't do that by ignoring God's house. You don't do that by staying out of opportunities for them to learn of God and God's word. She doesn't throw up her hands and say, well, if God wants it to happen, he'll die. If God wants it to happen, he'll live. No, she believed God wanted that child to live, and she set out to make a way. She was determined in her faith. And in that faith, she hid the baby for 3 months. Have you ever tried to quiet a child? To keep a child quiet so nobody would know that the child was in the room. Sometimes we have babies come into the room and the parents fret about the child making noises. You know, we don't fret so much. We're thankful for the families to be here. But for 3 months, she kept him quiet and hidden so nobody knew that he had been born. Now, 3 months. By the third month, you know, babies don't get quieter. Have you noticed that? It became apparent she could not hide him anymore. She may have put bows in his hair at times to pass him off as a girl. When she could not hide him anymore, she decided she was going to follow what Pharaoh wanted her to do. Well, sort of. Pharaoh said, "Throw them in the river." She was going to put him in the river. But she just wasn't going to put him directly in the river. She made a small boat, a watertight craft. She made it out of bulrushes. She put tar on the inside and on the outside. How did she know to do that? To waterproof this small basket. She knew to do that because the Hebrews quoted and had an oral history of God's word, and she knew about Noah, and she knew about building the ark. Hey, if you don't believe this is tied to Noah and the ark, get this. When it talks about this basket, the ark that she put him in, that is the Hebrew word tebah. It is only found one other place in the Bible. Want to guess where that is? That's when Noah had the ark.
And so, yes, she knew of Noah's Ark. Yes, she knew you watertight something by putting tar inside, tar outside. And she watertighted this ark, put her baby in it, and put Moses in the river, in the bulrushes. In determined faith, she did what she could do. Moms, dads, I want you to do what you can do. There are things you can't do, but you need to do what you can do. You try to get your kids in school, that's good. You do what you can do. You feed them, they don't like what you give them, but you feed them anyway, and you do what you can do. You get them to God's house to do what you can do. Your child needs to be a part of Sunday school. Your child needs to be a part of Vacation Bible School. These are opportunities to get God's word into your child and help you with your child. And that's something you can do. If you don't want to leave your child, hey, we need volunteers. You can be part of the volunteers of these ministries. There are things you cannot do, but there are things you can. And leading your child to be a part of worship, leading your child to know about Jesus, those are things you can do. You can't make your child receive Jesus, but you can sure set the stage. Jochebed made a choice. If you want your children to be what God desires, you got to make a choice. You got to be determined. You've got to follow that determination. I watch parents. Parents are so busy. So busy. You know when you become busy? When your kid gets a schedule. When they have places they are going and things they are doing and things they are playing. And all of a sudden you are going to T-ball games, soccer games, football games. You're going to plays. Dance recitals. You're going to all of these things and you're spending time there because your child is involved. They're going to know that you're there to support them and you're there because you love them. And so you show up. Shouldn't you care enough to show up and do the same thing in God's house? If you want a young boy or girl who loves Jesus and serves Jesus, who will teach your grandchildren about Jesus, then be determined in your faith to get Jesus into their lives now. Don't wait another moment. And be determined to it now. Jochebed realized her child would have to go into the Nile. But if he had to go, she was going to make it the right way. So she put him in the Nile in this ark. I don't know how long Moses was in the water. I really don't. It may have been days. It could have been weeks. How did he stay alive? Well, you know, if it was needed, I believe Jochebed went down to the riverbank, opened that little ark up, took the baby out and fed the baby. She possibly went before the sun went up and went after the sun went down to care for her child. She kept an eye on her child. When she couldn't keep an eye on him, her daughter was keeping an eye on him, Miriam, Moses' sister. Here Jochebed builds the ark, and the ark is a symbol of Jesus. When Noah built the ark was a symbol of Jesus. Noah and his family were safe from the storm in the ark. They wouldn't have been safe outside the ark. So in following God's direction, Jochebed builds this small ark, and Moses was safe in the ark. My friend, if you want to be safe spiritually, you have to be in Jesus. You will not be safe without him. You need to have him as your Lord and Savior. Her determined faith put that small ark into the view of the maid of Pharaoh's daughter. They were there. They were looking at the reeds. Why were they looking at the reeds? I believe they were looking for crocodiles. Pharaoh's daughter was going to bathe in the water. They didn't want anything to bother that.
She was looking in the reeds as well. Hey, if you're in an area where crocodiles are prevalent, it's good to keep your eyes open. They notice this ark, and one of the maids gets it and brings it, and as they open it, the baby starts to cry. Now, that's kind of interesting. We don't have any record of him crying before that time. I'm sure he probably did. But at this point, God tells us the baby started to cry. Now, I have heard some people say that God had an angel pinch Moses right at the right moment. I don't know if that's true or not, but I do know this. If there was an angel there that pinched Moses as they opened up that ark, he was an archangel. Miriam had been watching. She sees the baby in front of the Pharaoh's daughter. She sees that Pharaoh's daughter is taken with the child. And her instincts are to care for this child. A Hebrew baby, I know. Against the law, I know. But she's going to care for this child. And so Miriam just shows up right at the right time. Hey, would you want me to get a Hebrew servant to come and take care of this child for you? Well, Pharaoh's daughter knew that she wasn't going to nurse the child, so yes, there had to be a nursemaid somehow, and so she rushed Miriam off to find someone. Well, Miriam, I'm sure, just searched and searched and searched. No, she went straight to her mom, who probably wasn't that far away. And Jochebed came, and this is one of those irony things that happen, and it's just kind of amazing, boggles the mind. Here she is, she's a slave, she has nothing. She has nothing to raise the child with. She has nothing. God puts the child in the richest home in the land, and Pharaoh's daughter pays the mom take care of her own child. She received a payday, but that's not the big payday. We have a mom's dilemma, a mom's determination. There's a mom's direction in verse 10. And the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son, and she called his name Moses, and she said, "Because I have drawn him out of the Nile." Jochebed was paid to nurse her own baby. She knew she only had a few short years. In that day, it was not uncommon to nurse a child to 6 or 7 years of age, sometimes to 9. I don't know. We don't know. But I know Jochebed knew that whatever time that was, it was short. And so she taught the baby and taught the young child, and she poured herself into that child, giving that child direction. And then after a few years passed, she had to take that child back to the daughter of Pharaoh. Under Pharaoh, Moses went to their pagan schools. He was taught their pagan science. What was their science? Their science said a worm crawled out of the Nile and became a man, and that's how people came to be. Moses remembered the direction of his mom. God created the heavens and the earth. God formed Adam. God formed Eve. He remembered his mother's directions, telling him that a redeemer would come and the devil would bruise his heel, but he would bruise his head, and that redeemer would be Jesus. He remembered these things, and they were in his mind. And one day, God calls him to action. He follows God. He becomes the leader of the Hebrews. He gets Pharaoh to let the children go. He leads them across the Red Sea on dry ground. He leads them through the desert. He climbs up Mount Sinai. There he sees a burning bush. God gives him the Ten Commandments, which, by the way, is the basis of all laws on planet Earth.
and he serves God with his life. Was he perfect? Absolutely not. But had he not had his mom's direction, had he not had his mom telling him of God and of God's deliverance and of the Redeemer, he would not have been the Moses you know. He would not have been the Moses that freed Israel. He would not have been the Moses that got the Ten Commandments. But she did teach him, and he did remember it. One day, Moses breathed his last, and he went to paradise. And there in paradise, he praises God for God allowing him to live and God giving him a life and allowing him to be a part of God's plan and blessing the lives of others. And then there was Jochebed in paradise in faith. And he goes to Jochebed and he says, "Thank you, Mom. Thank you for teaching me about Jesus." That day, she got her payday. My friend, your whole life is meaningless without Jesus. If you have never invited Jesus to be your Savior, you need to allow him to come into your heart and to save your soul. You need to be willing to turn from your sin and turn to Jesus. Just walk down an aisle, say, "I want Jesus." We know what that means, and we will pray with you. Jesus will come into your heart this very day. God calls to you. If you're a believer, well, could you serve God better? Could you follow God more closely? Maybe today you would just come to the altar and pray and ask God to forgive you and ask God to use you. He wants to do both. All you have to do is ask. Right now, God would want your decision. What will it be? Would you stand with me for prayer? Father, right now we come before you. We ask you, Lord, to move in our hearts. Father, move us to decision. In this room are some that have never given their heart to Jesus, and this is the day they need to do that. Father, let them come. Let them just bow and ask Jesus to come into their heart and save their soul. Father, there are believers here, Father, that need to be following you day by day, not every now and then, but every day. Let them come before you, Father, seeking forgiveness, seeking direction, and give them that direction, Father, for your glory. Thank you for what you're going to do in this moment. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You come as we sing.